Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire.
Girl, you know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I have been thinking about my middle school experience.
Oof, middle school.
Middle school. And here's what I'll tell you. I kind of feel like a unicorn because I loved middle school.
Really?
Yeah, which is very surprising.
Okay. I didn't hate it, but it's middle school.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I went through the awkward phase, as I'm sure we all did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I just really had a great time. My teachers were awesome. My school district was incredible. And I just really enjoyed my peers and had a great time kind of coming into my own then.
That's great. I can agree with that in some sense.
Yeah.
But I look back, I'm like, ooh.
Right, fair. But I think what's really neat is, you know, a lot of teachers get to watch their students grow out of that awkward phase and go into something bigger. And that's what we really want to talk about today with our guests.
Yeah, let's talk about teachers.
Yes, teachers. I'm so excited about our guest today.
Yes.
And I know, you know, what's so great for me is having all these guests and learning about all these people. But for me, today's episode is super special because we have my bestie for the rusty and childhood bestie, Katie Hoffman, here with us.
Ooh.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
So a little background, Katie and I have known each other since we were like 7 years old and we grew up in the same neighborhood. We became besties and the rest is history. We've been there through all the awkward times, all the good times, bad times. And now we are here to talk to Katie about her incredible career and work ethic as a teacher.
Thanks.
So, Katie, first give our listeners a little bit of background about, you know, you obviously grew up here in Sylvania. And so talk a little bit about how you grew up and then, you know, your education and training to get into this field.
You covered a lot of it. I feel like you were a very integral part of my growing up. So I was born in Sylvania. I went through all the Sylvania schools. I went through Highland Elementary, McCord Junior High, and then Northview High School. And then after high school, I obviously went to college. I went to Capital University down in Columbus. And that was a thing that I kind of stumbled into. That's kind of a pattern with me. I stumble into a lot of things in a very positive, happy, optimistic way.
I think I'm the same way.
Yeah, I stumble into things, but it always kind of works out for the best. In college, I actually started out as a music major. When I was in high school, I was very into choir and theater and the arts and all of that kind of thing. And since those educators made such an impact on me, I initially went to school to be a music educator. But after about a year, I realized that I wasn't passionate enough about choir to do it every day for the rest of my life. And I felt like it would be a disservice to kids to be in an environment where their teacher wasn't entirely passionate about what they were doing. So I felt like I would be doing them a disservice. Yeah. So I decided to pivot.
That's fair. I feel like with any music major, you have to be really dedicated.
And I wasn't. Like, I wasn't to the level that everybody around me seemed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I pivoted to film and French language for my next major after that.
And she's a woman of many passions.
To be completely honest with you, I think I was fighting against the urge to educate. It felt like in a weird way that it wasn't like important enough or creative enough. But then, I don't know, after a semester, it was like a sigh but of relief at the end. I was like, you know what, like, I'm not doing this. I'm teaching. This is what I'm meant to be doing. This is what I want to do. And it's okay that I want to be in Ohio and hang out with 12-year-olds. Like, that's not... That's not doing enough.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And I think we've talked about before, like, especially when you grow up in an area, there is this kind of pressure to get out
to get
of
out,
that area.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for you, that's a big thing.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. with you coming back to Sylvania and
right.
that kind of urge to run away from your hometown.
Definitely. And it can be really hard to reconcile that. I also think, not to get too deep on Maine, but I think what's really interesting too is there is kind of a lot of pressure that I've seen against my friends who are women in education.
Correct.
Because obviously that's a career path that was one of the earliest accessible to women.
Yeah. And it's so still it's, so female dominated.
And for those of you who don't really know Katie, she is an incredibly strong feminist, very outspoken about women's rights. And, you know, I think that could probably be a factor going into that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to like, I don't know, cheapen my thoughts about it by saying like I was trying to be a main character. But I think it took a long time for me to realize that teaching itself is a marriage of left and right brain. It is like a beautiful, like almost enmeshment of the creative and the logical. And I'm a very like analytical educational type of person. Like I love math, I love all that kind of thing, but I also like to do creative things. And I think like when I was doing music and when I was doing film, it was trying to sort of feed that passion in myself. And then the day I realized like, wait, teaching is one of the most creative things you could do if you're doing it right, then it was like, oh, okay, I can surrender to this thing that I know I have to do, which is teach.
Well, yeah. You had also kind of a different path with education, because if I remember this right, education majors are kind of like English, history, and math, science,
correct.
Right?
You're correct.
So for talk about yours, because you did math and English.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like growing up, I was always very good at math. Math was like my thing. If I look back on my personal history in school, the most impactful teachers that I had were two of my math teachers. Shout out to Greg Christie and Susan Olshansky. And so the two of them made such an impact. So I loved math. I always felt very comfortable there. And then with English, like I love to read. I love to write. I love all of that as well. And I don't know, I'm just not good at science. But initially when I switched back to education, I wanted to be a high school teacher. And when you do that for that license in Ohio, you pick one subject for a 712 license. So I had to pick, and I'm incredibly indecisive, but if you get a middle childhood license, you get to pick two subjects. And so I was like, oh, okay, like I could rock with middle school. That's a 4-9 license. I like fourth graders. I like ninth graders. I like the in-between.
Right.
I'll give it a shot. And then I'm like, that way I can do both. So I did both, and then oh my gosh, I love middle school, and I did not realize how much I love that age group and those groups of kids and their quirks. And it's just a very specific time of your life, middle school. Like, I can't really think of anything that's quite like middle school. I love it.
Yeah, definitely a very in-between stage. And
yes.
A really, I feel like, critical time mm-hmm. for growing up and stepping into your own, definitely.
They're all just figuring out who they are.
And yeah. I think it's pretty clear that you are fit for this job, especially because I don't know a lot of people who willingly love middle schoolers. So
no, I like, that's truly my favorite thing. Like talking to them is, it's so entertaining, and it's they're so earnest. They're very much kids, but they want to carry themselves like teenagers or like adults. So you have the ability to be real with them and talk to them the way that they want to be talked to, while also recognizing that, you know, they're just kids. Like, they're just little guys.
So you're teaching now at McCord.
I am, which is where I went to middle school, which I think is a very unique experience.
Cool.
I came back to Toledo for my student teaching, even though I was in school in Columbus. I was able to come back and kind of set up my student teaching with myself. After 2020, we were in college, we were doing the seminar about student teaching online anyway. So I figured to save money and like live with my mom, I could see if I could set something up in Sylvania schools, which is where I fell in love with school and learning. So I thought that
fitting
maybe
to come back.
Yeah. Maybe I can try it from this lens.
Just so special.
Yeah. And I was able to get student teaching placement at the middle school I went to, McCord Junior High. Yay. and after that, things just kind of fell into my lap. Again, with the fallout of 2020, they were hiring building substitutes. So that's like an in-building substitute position. So you're in the same place every day, which is kind of atypical. So from doing that, the semester after I student taught, then a position opened up, and now here I am in year two.
Wow. Year two.
Oh, so
year
exciting. Two.
Yeah. And I know it's interesting because you are working with some new teachers mm-hmm. that you didn't have while you were there, but you also are working with teachers that you did have while you were there.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about, you know, kind of changing that relationship from student teacher to peer teachers. And then also if you find that there are any interesting generational differences between, because obviously you're a lot younger than a lot of the teachers there. So any generational kind of setbacks or positives that you have seen?
I think that there's definitely setbacks and positives. But to go back to the first part of your question, it was a very big learning curve going from these people that I looked up to when I was 13 years old and coming to them as a colleague is one of the most strange changes of relationship that I think I could imagine.
Even
conceptualize. Because again, these people knew me when I was 11 or 12 or 13. And that is obviously who I am to them in their head. And now here I am, like their colleague, hanging out with them outside of school and talking to them in the teacher's lounge and all those kinds of things. But also at the same time, it's been easier than I expected too. Like it was strange at first, but now they're all very dear friends of mine. I cannot say enough about how welcoming the staff at McCord Junior High is. Like truly, the staff there doesn't change a lot, and I think that says a lot about how positive the building culture is, in the sense that, like, I know my current principal has told me that in her time at the building, she's hired maybe 5 new teachers, and if that doesn't tell you how much people stay once they're there, you know, I don't know what does. But that also, again, means that I'm one of, you know, the youngest Gen Z. We love it. I just, for a professional development project, I had to read a book about Gen Z and what are they like and what's it like teaching Gen Z, and I'm reading this like
you said lived experience.
Yeah, I'm like, do I have to read this chapter?
Right.
Like, I know. Like, this is how I learn and teach.
First-hand experience.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very interesting. Like, they were talking about how, like, Gen Z has an attention span of, like, 20 seconds or something. And I think that that's one major difference with me as a teacher, because I have a very short attention span.
Right.
So I'm really easy to get off topic, but we're also very good at getting, you know, back on topic.
For sure.
We lock in. Being a Gen Z teacher is fun. I think it makes it easier to relate to the kids. I can understand what they're saying, and sometimes they forget that. They'll be using slang, and then I'll kind of give them, you know, a teacher face about it, and then they remember all at once that I actually know all of their phrases.
Right.
Sometimes they teach me their phrases. Today I learned a new one. I learned a default crush.
Oh.
Default crush.
Default
crush. Fill our listeners in.
Yeah.
New slang just dropped.
A default crush is the person that you go back to liking when you don't have a crush and you're bored and you want to like somebody.
Relatable.
I did not find that relatable.
Well, at all. You're a better woman than I.
I didn't find that relatable. I was like, why would you want to have a crush? That's what I was saying to the girls that were explaining this to me.
Middle school crushes.
I overhear a lot of them sort of whispering about that. But yeah, a lot of the other teachers will ask me. I have a wonderful colleague who asked me to write him a slang dictionary because it's too strange to pull up Urban Dictionary in class. So fair. Yeah, he asked if I would like write down everything for him, and so I do a lot of slang lessons with my colleagues.
That's so funny.
Right. I'd imagine for some of the older teachers there that the Urban Dictionary would probably be a little helpful in a lot of situations.
Yeah, so I do answer a lot of those types of questions. It's helpful being younger with technology and how like integrated technology is into the classroom now. That's like a second language to Gen Z, I think, is just like understanding how that works. So that's been really helpful. And also, my colleagues teach me so much about what's going on in the classroom and student behavior and like patterns that they've seen over the years and ways to handle situations when standing in front of a class. So it's nice to be able to help them with things like technology or what are the students talking about or pop culture even. So it's kind of nice for me to feel like I can contribute something on that end.
And I have to ask too, Libby, I don't know what you used, if you had any like built-in technology stuff when you were in school, but when I was in school, it was Chromebooks.
We got those.
That's what I had.
We're one-to-one now.
No, nice. I love it. I was going to say, are the Chromebooks still the fad?
Yes, but now instead of having like a Chromebook cart, like when I was a kid where you would go pick one off and then the cart would go to another classroom. Now they all have their own.
Oh, wow. So like to take home and use.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was a big part of with 2020 when they were learning from home. They had to make sure every child had access to that technology. So they made sure that they were one-to-one at that point.
We love accessibility.
Yeah, that too. That was kind of my setup. I started with like the Mac, like, car, you take one. Then we got the Chromebooks to take home, which is just funny to give that kind of freedom to a middle schooler. But also, they're used to it at this point.
Right. Well, and I'd be hard-pressed to find a middle schooler without a phone these days, too.
So. No, there's a few that don't have them. In my class recently, I did, between my second and fourth period, we did a challenge of who could lower, as a class, on average, who could lower their screen time the most by the highest percentage. And there was, like, a couple of kids that – there's two kids that didn't have a phone. And I was like – I'm like, you might think you're missing out.
Right.
But –
yeah, good for
you. You might have a freedom that the rest of us don't have.
That's a really cool challenge.
Yeah, I know. Can I take part in that? I might need some help.
Yeah, no, it's been good. They got competitive with it, and I wasn't expecting them to.
I love that.
Because, you know, at first they were, like, rolling their eyes, like, why is she making me get off my phone? But then, like, they would come
maybe
in over
the 20-second attention span.
Correct. No, but over the week they would come in and be like, Ms. Hoffman, like, my screen time's down 20%. Like,
let's go.
And I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm like, I forgot to ask. We have to stretch this out another week. So now I've tricked them into thinking that I forgot. That's so funny. We have to, like, go for another week because I'm just trying to get their screen time down.
Oh, bless really you.
That's awesome to be able to, you know, relate with them on that kind of basis of just knowing where they're at and getting their lingo. I'm sure that's really helpful and relatable for them.
Yeah, it's good.
So with how you connect with Gen Z, obviously, you know, you're talking a lot about these generational differences between teachers and then how you kind of connect through slang or technology or different things with your students. But I would imagine that there are some kind of more difficult things that you have to face, too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to know how you deal with handling some of these tougher conversations.
So there's a lot going on in the world at all times. And I think with their access to technology and each other, I think that hard conversations happen a lot now in the sense that they're so exposed to things. And I think I'm in a unique position because while I'm an educational authority figure, I'm also somebody that they can relate to. So when they have things that are difficult that they want educational guidance on that are also difficult to talk about, I'm sort of like this perfect intersection for them of somebody that can both educate and be a comfortable resource to have a conversation.
I can absolutely see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that means I just get asked a lot of questions about things going on in the world, whether it's issues of like social issues like race and sexuality, or I've even been asked about like the economy.
just discussing Bitcoin with middle school.
Quite literally, I got asked about like what does inflation mean recently and why is it happening? I'm just kind of staring at them for a second, like, okay, I'm trying to come up with a way to have this conversation that doesn't expose my own personal views and also doesn't, I don't know, I never want to be a person that has conversations that are meant for a parent to have.
Right.
Like I'm not trying to step into that role while also simultaneously knowing that I am a safe adult to talk to. So sometimes it's a very specifically honed skill of figuring out how to ask them questions in return about difficult topics so that they're leading the conversation and I can, you know, be sort of a bouncing off point.
That's such a hard line to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, also stuff like, you know, sexuality is like such a hot button issue, it feels like. I hear people talking about like indoctrination and things like that. And I know that speaking for myself and like other teachers, I know that that's a really a sincere fear. And I can understand that. I never want to do that. Right. That's not something I'm like trying to do. I'm not trying to like posit my own beliefs. I'm very open about, you know, who I am and in my position. And so I think for me, the messaging for my kids is always just, you know, you're free to be whoever you are. Everyone's welcome here. And I think if every conversation is sort of grounded in the thesis of everyone's welcome here and everybody has a place in this classroom and everybody belongs, that's been very helpful. So I think kids are more, I guess, curious and like want to talk about things if they know that, you know, it's okay to make a misstep and it's also okay to be who they are. It's okay to figure out all sorts of fun questions.
So I'd imagine, you know, for you, it's a particularly unique situation because, you know, not only are you back in the place where you grew up, but you now, obviously, as a queer adult, are talking to students about different issues. When they come to you, you're not stepping on the toes of what the parent might talk to them about. But obviously, you know, them seeing you as a role model is very important, I think, in a way that maybe you might not have had growing up mm-hmm. necessarily. And so talk a little bit about what that has meant to you to be able to be there for those students.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a quote once that was like, queer educators are proof of queer futures. And so I think that. Yeah, I think for kids, that's important to see, like, in me, just the fact that I just, you know, live my life. Mm-hmm. Do I openly often bring up the fact that I'm gay? No, I don't think I've ever brought it up ever to a kid, but some kids pick up on it. I also like I'm part of the LGBTQ plus caucus of teachers in the United States through the National Education Association.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And with that, like, we, everybody in that organization, we all have like an ID badge that we can put on our school ID, and it says just like, I'm here, and it has all sorts of pride flags and things. So it just kind of is a nonverbal signal. Hey, I'm like a safe person if you right. want to talk.
And maybe the eyebrow piercing might give it away too.
Yeah, I mean, I've had kids straight up ask. I had a student last year who does identify openly as gay, who interrupted a geometry lecture when I asked if they had any questions, and he just asked, like, point blank, like, are you gay?
In front of the whole class is crazy.
The whole yeah. class. But stuff like that, it was a great educational moment of, like, hey, whether I am or not, that's not a super appropriate question to ask somebody, because you might right. be asking them to out themselves or lie about who they are, you know, so that's my favorite kind of conversation, to be completely honest, like, not really about the fact that I'm gay, but the fact that I'm able to correct their missteps if they accidentally mm-hmm. do something disrespectful. I've had kids, I've observed open dialogue where a child was maybe being homophobic, whether intentionally or not, where I've been able to say, like, hey, the words you're saying might be construed as this way. And whether, no matter what your personal opinion is, it's okay to have one. Everybody belongs, and we're not allowed to make other people feel like they don't belong or feel uncomfortable in this room. So even right. if you don't understand, yeah. you know, somebody's gender, somebody's sexuality, like somebody's point of view, even if you don't understand it, you have to recognize their right to exist in peace and in comfort in this space. Like in my room, right. that's a non-negotiable.
Which is honestly how I know you're a great teacher, because you're yeah. educating not just, you know, the subjects, but also those kind of social issues happening yeah. and helping guide everyone through that, which is for awesome.
Sure. Yeah, that's my favorite part of teaching, is just providing, like, a safe space. I got my principal got a text today from a former student, not anything to do with this really, but she's having a tough time in high school, and she reached out to the principal and said, hey, is Ms. Hoffman available to have a one-on-one chat with my kiddo? I know she's who she really wow. connected with back in middle school, and she could use some guidance right now.
That's really sweet.
Or, you know, today I spent 30 minutes picking gum out of a kid's hair because he got gum in his hair in another class, and I was the comfortable person to sit there with my hands in his hair for 30 minutes.
That's heinous.
I'm sorry. It's terrible. But I really just didn't want him to have, it was a lot of gum. I didn't want him to have to cut it out. And I was able to get it out with only cutting about 5 strands of hair. So that was good.
Wow. What a champ.
That was good.
And Libby and I also want to ask you too, what advice would you give to any young teachers who are starting to enter into this field right now?
I would say there's a lot of important things that I could say to teachers who are coming into the field. The first of all is you're going to hear a lot of teachers talk about how difficult it is to be a teacher right now. That's true. I'm sure that's always been true. But I think that it's an advantage coming in now after the pandemic has, like, sort of uprooted and changed the way we've done things. Mm-hmm. You're on an advantage because you don't have a before times to compare it to. So when a lot of people are talking about how difficult things have gotten, I would tell them to take that in stride, because you're beginning now. Like, you don't have that basis of comparison. And you can look at this as a jumping off point, a way to find ways to improve, make it your own, do your own thing. And the other thing I would say is just, like, be true to who you are. If you show up and be who you are as a human every day, kids will connect to that. You're not a robot. Be who you are. Be strange. Be silly. Be weird. But also know what your boundaries are and stick to them.
Yeah. Truth. Be weird. Set boundaries.
No, be weird. And, like, be yourself. But also, like, don't let them walk all over you.
So true.
That's great advice in anything, honestly.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I'm about to take this back with my life, too.
Yeah, I'm like super nice, but also, like, there's a line and the kids know where it is.
True. Love that.
Okay, so we want to get into our segment that we've been doing,
okay.
Which do you know about the Roman Empire kind of trend?
So the Roman Empire being something that you think about a
lot? Yes,
like
yes.
Constantly? Yes, I do.
So we want to know yours.
Which,
yeah, a lot to unpack. But.
And trust it changes like every day or every week, I bet.
I feel like I have a lot of them. I have a lot of things that spend way too much time in my head, but... I would say my ultimate Roman Empire is in Stranger Things season 4. The
yes.
moment when Eddie Munson takes his vest and throws it at Steve Harrington and says, "For your modesty." I think about that every
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, boy. That's such a good answer.
Because why did that happen?
Why did that happen?
Why did they write that?
Unpack that a little bit.
I don't want you to.
So true. For all of these Stranger Things fans out there, you know the vibe.
Yeah. They introduced a perfect love interest for Steve right there. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, so true. I mean, and if y'all are thinking Nancy, y'all are thinking the wrong person.
Y'all are thinking the wrong thing.
Wrong thing. I'm sorry. Put that agenda on Stranger Things. Thank you.
They were such great friends. I loved it.
Just friends. And they were roommates.
No, but they were good friends, and that's a great foundation. Come
yeah.
on.
Great foundation for something more. Dun, dun, dun.
They should have held hands.
All right, I'm going to kick it over to Libby.
Okay, my Roman Empire today, we'll say, is the movie The Lobster. I know it came out in, 2015, so I'm late, but I just watched it this week, and it's incredible. It's one of my favorite movies I've ever watched just because of – it's something different. It's not the same movie, the same trope with, a different script. It's something new and something fresh. It's probably not for everyone. I feel like it's kind of dark humor, really dry, but super entertaining for
I love
me.
That.
How did you find this if it was just from 9 years ago?
I think I watched it on Hulu. Don't quote me on that, but just scrolling through and just saw it pop up and was looking for something new to watch.
Love that for
right.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'd seen a couple things on TikTok about that, but I hadn't ever watched it. So now you put me on.
Yeah,
I'm about to
highly
watch.
Recommend.
And honestly, I feel bad because my Roman Empire for the day is slightly boring than most of them, but I cannot, you guys, I cannot get mukbangs out of my head. And I'm sorry, if we're pretentious, we're going to say mukbang or whatever.
Yeah,
but
how
no.
do you actually say it? No,
and if you want to tell me how to say it, that's fine. I'm going to continue to say mukbang because I don't think I'm hurting anybody in the process.
That's one of the words that I only ever read.
Right?
I never hear anyone say it.
It's not real. It's just a word.
Yeah,
it just exists in the ether.
Like fast food, like crab boil, like
literally.
What are we...
I mean, the format for me right now is TikTok. I've been watching a lot of TikTokers do mukbangs, and honestly, the big ones are mostly fast food. You know, I've seen a lot of Cane's, seen a lot of Chipotle. You know, I don't really discriminate. Any type of food that I am seeing people do a mukbang for, I will watch. And especially, you know, if you got the sauce, if you're dipping stuff, if you got the crunchy sounds.
I was going to ask, is it like the ASMR?
I would say ASMR crossover.
Yeah. And honestly, maybe this is like a tell of my mental health, so no one attack me for this statement. But I love when I'm eating by myself to put on a mukbang and watch someone else eat with me.
That's good.
Together.
I like that.
I'm like, we're,
no, I'm here for
we're
it.
Eating together. We're friends. But no, and also it does help me if I'm indecisive about what I want to eat. I'm like, what mukbangs have I saved? Do any of these foods
sound good
to me today? Maybe I'll go get one. But yeah, that is my current Roman Empire. I have saved no less than 30 in the past week in my collections.
I love
keep
that
watching.
For you.
Wow.
But I'm not sure that the mouth sounds are for me.
That's fair.
It
not for
bother
everybody.
Me if I'm watching it.
Right.
I would never listen to, on headphones, just mouth sounds. But if I'm watching somebody eat, okay.
And don't worry, everyone listening, we're not going to subject you to a on-the-come-up mukbang episode. We will spare you that fate. Anyway, thank you so much, Katie, for joining us. We
appreciate your
insight.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me.
I love it. I'm taking your advice for myself, honestly. So
boundary
setting
queens.
I wish you were
queens.
My middle school teacher.
Yeah, right? Me and Libby are about to show up in your classroom.
Go ahead. I'm sure that they would love to meet somebody like you guys. I'm sure they would love to see what you guys do.
Just the coolest little quirkiest girls.
they love a visitor.
Okay. Oh,
yes.
Honestly, that was the best kind of day.
Yeah.
In middle school, so.
We could do our own career day.
I love that.
Sweet. There's just one career.
It's us.
And it's you guys.
It's always us. We'll be right back.
We want to thank Katie Hoffman, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley. Our executive producer is Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
See you next time, besties.
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.